This is 1A. I'm Jen White in Washington. It's day two of the Biden-Harris administration. We're expecting President Biden to sign 10 executive orders to ramp up COVID-19 vaccinations, expand testing, and reopen schools. The goal? 100 million shots in 100 days. There's a lot of work to do, and the Senate isn't wasting time. Last night, it confirmed Avril Haines, Joe Biden's pick to lead the U.S. intelligence agencies. Joining us now to talk about a busy Senate is Senator Debbie Stabenow, a Democrat from Michigan. Senator, welcome.
Well, it's good to be with you, Jen. I appreciate it.
So Vice President Kamala Harris has now sworn in three new Democratic senators, Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff from Georgia, and Alex Padilla, who is filling Harris's vacant seat from California. With the Senate now evenly split between the parties and a Democratic White House providing the tie-breaking vote, what is number one on your to-do list?
Well, first of all, we got to pass our organizing resolution so we can get busy here at this point, you know, moving forward. So hopefully that'll be done in the next couple of days. But we have to confirm the president's cabinet. He's got to have his team in place. We need a Secretary of Defense and Homeland Security and Health and Human Services and agriculture and on and on and on. And so we have to be doing that. At the same time, we have to move aggressively on the efforts that President Biden has laid out in terms of the COVID package. We have no time to lose. The short-term help that we put in place for people to survive ends starting on March 14th, which is not that far away. And we know we have to ramp up very quickly to get vaccines out, not just to states, but actually into people's arms, support our healthcare providers, ramping up all of the things we need to do to keep us safe, and actually not only save lives, but people's livelihoods as well, getting children back to school, businesses open, and so on. So we have to focus on COVID as number one, and then we have to focus on a bold jobs agenda, clean energy, infrastructure, and so on. And on top of that, we still have unresolved, obviously we have issues that we have to address in terms of trial on the former president. So there's a lot on our plate right now. Most important thing for us is to move forward to keep people safe, get people back to work, and to be able to make people's lives better. That's the whole point of the Biden agenda.
Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell is pressing Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer to commit to keeping the filibuster rule, and that's the 60-vote threshold on most legislation, which would force a bipartisan vote. Where do you stand on this?
Well, first, let me say that the minority leader doesn't, in my judgment, get to decide what the new majority does in terms of the way we move forward. So it's less about the question of the legislative filibuster, and it's more about the fact that coming in as a new majority, it is not reasonable for us to be giving up any tools because we have no idea going forward what will happen in terms of emergencies. Lord knows, given what has happened in the last year, we don't know what will be coming. And so, Senator McConnell is no longer the majority leader. And so the majority will decide the best way to move forward. Obviously, everything possible needs to be bipartisan. I work in a bipartisan way every day. The members of our caucus will be at the front of the line trying to build bipartisan consensus to move forward. But we also know that we cannot allow purely partisan actions to stop us from moving forward. And that's the bottom line. The country can't sustain it. You know, we can't sustain it in terms of lost lives and livelihoods.
I mean, thinking over the last 4 years, the events at the Capitol on January 6th, I'm curious how much appetite there is for bipartisanship in your caucus.
Well, I actually believe there's a lot of of appetite. I mean, first of all, this is the narrowest of margins, 50-50. The committees will be, the membership will be split 50-50. I will be chairing the Agriculture, Nutrition, and Forestry Committee, but working very closely, of course, as I always do, with the ranking member. And so we know that we got the COVID package we did, the bridge, to get to the new year because of a bipartisan effort last year in November and December, which I was pleased to be a part of writing pieces of that. And so we always do our best work if we can work together in a bipartisan basis. That is different than saying we're going to allow folks to use obstructionism or slow walking things that desperately need to get done. We have to address this COVID crisis so that we can move forward. And we've got to make sure people have the incomes they need, their businesses are doing well, our schools are open. We've got big things to tackle like the climate crisis that are critical. So we want to be bipartisan. We want to work together. That's what we do as Democrats. But we have to make sure we are actually getting things done for people.
One big ticket item on the Senate's agenda is the impeachment trial of President Trump, which you mentioned. Do you agree the timing is not optimal? How does that not distract from the Senate putting all the attention on President Biden's new agenda?
Well, we have to be able to do everything at once, unfortunately. And this is about protecting our democracy and having accountability. It's never the wrong time to have accountability after an insurrection. And we know that, in fact, in both the majority leader and the minority leader of the Senate have agreed that it was former President Trump who was absolutely responsible for what happened on January 6th. And so there has to be accountability and justice if we're going to have the healing that we need. And it's going to take a long time to get that healing, but it has to start with accountability for those that were involved in a frightening and heartbreaking attack on our nation's capital and an attempt to stop the process of recognizing the votes of people across our country who elected a new president and vice president.
So with the understanding that the investigation is still underway around the events of January 6th, we have to acknowledge the fact that witnesses in this trial are also members of Congress. With the information you currently have, would you be inclined to vote to convict?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we are the witnesses. This isn't a debate about a phone call that a president had with a foreign leader that only some people heard. Every one of us has heard Donald Trump in what he said consistently over and over again, what he said on that day, January 6th. This is, you know, there's no surprise here. We don't have to think about, gosh, what was it that happened? We heard it, we saw it, and those of us in Congress experienced it. So yes, I'm a witness. Every single person that was there is a witness to what happened. And so it's pretty straightforward, I believe, in terms of what happened to incite an insurrection and to violate the U.S. Constitution.
We've spoken to a few of your fellow Democratic senators, including Tina Smith and Sheldon Whitehouse. They support holding your Republican colleagues accountable for objecting to the election results and for helping spread the lie that the election was not free and fair. What do you think the Senate should do about members of Congress?
Well, there needs to be accountability. I know that Senator Whitehouse and other colleagues have asked for an ethics investigation. I think that's very important. There has to be accountability, and it has to be accountability from their voters, from certainly people in their states have spoken out, their major newspapers, their supporters, past supporters have spoken out. I hope there's going to be a reckoning in terms of what they did, their role in participating in this, and what they continue to do, by the way. I mean, we're right now trying to move forward to confirm a Secretary of Homeland Security, which Senator Hawley is objecting to us being able to move swiftly to do that. So I believe that, you know, there's major issues that continue, but certainly they should be held accountable in some way.
Well, in this final minute or so that we have with you, I want to make sure we note that you're the incoming chair of the Senate Agriculture Committee. What are your priorities there? We know that during this pandemic, so much has been uncovered about food insecurity, and the farmers have been deeply impacted by it as well. What's top of mind for you?
Well, first of all, I want to make sure that we reauthorize what's called the Child Nutrition Act that we need to do every 5 years. That is past being done. And so that's children in school. That's the WIC program. That's a whole range of things for children and families. And secondly, I'm going to be laser focused on agriculture and forestry's role in the climate crisis. I've been leading an effort. We've been working for some years now, and we have agricultural support to move forward on a carbon market, a voluntary carbon market, and really have agriculture and forestry lead the way in how we address what is an existential threat to our country. And let me finally just say, as the person who negotiated the COVID package to get an increase in our supplemental nutrition assistance program, it took way too long to get that in this last year, but we added additional dollars. We have to continue to do that. We have a hunger crisis in our country and in America. We should not have one out of four families right now struggling with whether they're going to be able to feed their children.
That's Senator Debbie Stabenow, a Democrat from Michigan. Senator, thank you.
You're welcome.
Up next, author Simon Winchester talks about his new book about what the landscape has to say about us. I'm Jen White. This is 1A from WAMU and NPR.